Lord, we thank you, we love you, we bless you. Thank you for your word, Lord. How we need your word today more than ever. Ask that you would bless your word. Bless your people to hear your word. Pray for your people to hear and to discern what God is speaking to the body of Christ today. What God is speaking to us collectively and individually, Lord. Challenge us through your word, Lord. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, broken, fallen, decaying world. We need your word today more than ever. Teaches us how to think and where to go and what to do and what to say and what not to say. Lord, we need your wisdom, the wisdom of your word. We need it today more than ever. So we ask that you again would bless your word, bless your people. Holy Spirit, continue to rule and reign throughout this service. Lord, thank you for speaking to our hearts during worship, Lord. How you do miracles so great, Lord. How you're the ancient one, Lord. The glorious day, Lord. Every day is a glorious day, Lord. And thank you for the freedom, Lord, as we bow down and surrender and worship to you. Thank you for speaking to our hearts during worship, Lord. We love you for that. Bless your people to hear us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So as we continue our series in the Bible on Is God Enough? And we're in Job chapter 1. Let's start at verse 4. We'll pick it up and then we'll do a quick review. Then we'll accelerate as fast as we can. And then where we stop is where we stop, and we'll pick it up next week. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's it. Job 1 and 4. Who's working the... JL, thank you. JL, Job 1 and 4. All right, amen. That's what I call service. Amen. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and drink with them. Make a note, family, if you haven't already, that as we are in this holiday season, let's remember what's truly important and what it's really about. Here we have the example, and I'm pausing here. I'm going back here because God is doing something within our families and with sibling to sibling. Don't let this holiday season go by without you reaching out. You be the one to reach out Amen. To your siblings and just talk to them and don't talk at them and just talk. Don't bring up old stuff. Amen. Just you be the peacemaker.
Amen.
Remember what this is about. Just reach out. Hey, I challenged this last time. Just send a text message. I sent text messages to my three brothers and my sister and just told them I love you. Just checking in. I love you. And I got some astounding messages back. Love you more. Love you. Just reach out. Don't make it a holiday thing. I mean, look at this. Look what Job did. This is what the brothers and sisters did. Every day they reached out. And as we know, those of us that are older, we know that things change. Don't take it for granted. I'm just checking on you and I love you. Leave it at that. If that's all you can do, do that. We know that some siblings are more difficult than others. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But just I love you. I'm just checking in to let you know I love you and leave it at that. And then this is what the father did in verse 5. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and he consecrated them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And Job did this regularly. So fathers, we talked about it. Parents, make a note that you are getting up early and praying for your kids. Parents, we talked about it, that you would get up early and pray for your kids. Okay. And then for our youth, you get up early and you pray for your parents. Is my youth in here today? And youth, you get up early and you pray for your parents. All right, thank you, Justin. It's good to have you back. Thank you, Justin. All right. It's kind of interesting how once you get away and you realize how much your parents love and care about you, you can understand that. But get up and pray for your parents. And remember, I don't come telling me about your parents or your kids or your spouse if you're not getting up early every morning and praying for them. Because you're not doing all that you can do. I don't want to hear it. I mean, I don't mean to be like that. I mean, I'm just saying, you know. It's not really like that, but it's like that. You can't tell me, Pastor, you know what? I'm getting up every morning and I'm praying for my spouse. Okay. All right. Now, so what's going on now? Okay. Well, let's keep praying. Amen. Because what it does in the process, it actually changes you. God changes you. And you realize God is saying, well, this is what I need you to. Thank you for spending time with me. Now I can share with you what I need you to do. Kids and youth, that's how God talks to you, as you trying to pray for your parents. God shows you what he needs you to do. And parents, it is vice versa. God shows you how to. God created them. God knows. Try this. And why? Because look at verse 6. That's why we got to stay in prayer. That's why we got to consecrate our kids. And that's why we got to reach out to our siblings. Because here comes the enemy in verse 6. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. That's why we got to show unconditional love, because we got an adversary. And let me share something with you. Turn to, JL, take us to Ephesians 6 and turn to Ephesians 6, chapter 6. And you all turn in your Bibles and so you can see this for yourself. And I'm always going to encourage you to bring your Bible to church and take notes so you can go home and study it. God speaks through his word, because while you're reading one section of scripture, God shows you something else. Every time, bring your Bible. I know you have them on the phones and all that, but bring your Bible. You should have a physical Bible to bring. Because you open up your phone and then something pops up and you one click from somebody tweaking and twerking and doing all this other kind of stuff. Bring your Bible. It's important. Job spent that time because it's important. And we're in the holiday season. We'll forget what's important. We'll go spend 5 hours at the mall, but we can't spend 5 minutes praying for our family. Yeah. Waiting in line and all this other kind of stuff. But we can't spend 5 minutes. So here we go. Ephesians 6. Let's say 6 and 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes, the tricks of the devil. All right. Make a note that Job is the most ancient book in the Bible, although it's in the middle, but it's the scholars and say it's the first one written. So it shows that Satan has always been out to get God's people since day one. And then here is Paul saying in verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we just saw that. Amen. We just saw that in Job. This is what Paul is talking about. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. If you're still getting upset with people, you got some maturing to do. You have some maturing to do. It's not people. It's spiritual wickedness. So I broke it down. Principalities. Look at verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Principalities in the Greek, the Aramaic, we wrestle against demons. And then it says against powers. Powers is force and authority. So we're wrestling against demonic forces and authorities. Against the rulers, which is the devil and his demons, the rulers of darkness, which is shadiness of this world, this age, this era. And I don't have to tell you what this world is about. against spiritual wickedness, supernatural depravity and debauchery in high places. That's what we're wrestling against. And if you're still getting upset with people, you got some spiritual maturing to do. Now, let's go back to Job. So just so we know who our enemy is, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, it's not my kids, it's not my parents, it's not my wife, it's not my co-workers. Verse 5, again, Job initiated the consecration and the prayer and rising up early for his kids. Men, we have to be the initiators for that as well. Make a note of it. So here's verse 6. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And we just saw the spiritual wickedness in high places. Lord said unto Satan, what are you doing? And Satan answered and said, I'm going up and down in the earth and walking all around in it, and I'm influencing people. And the Lord said, okay, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and stays away from evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear you for nothing? So let's translate that. He says, you don't really have a real relationship with Job. You don't. It's not based on genuine, authentic, unconditional love. That's what Satan basically said. It's not a real relationship. It's all pretend. It's all based on stuff. Remember, Job was great. He was godly and he was rich. Satan said, it ain't real, though. It ain't real. It's all pretend. And then, family, we got to think about, I had to pause and think as I'm studying this, my relationships, are they real? What are my relationships based on? Is it based on what I can get out of it? Is it based on what they can do for me? If they stop giving me stuff, if the church stopped giving me a salary, would I show up on Sundays? What is my relationship based on? Is it really, do I want to serve God, or is it just, what can I get out of it? If my wife didn't treat me right, would I say it's time to get a newer and younger model? Oh, yeah, I'm going there. I mean, what is it? I had to examine, what is my relationship based on? My relationship with God. Is it because God's blessed me? If God stopped blessing me, would I curse him like Satan said Job would do? So look, family, when I'm reading this, I'm not just like saying, I'm going to go say this. I'm like pondering this. This is real scripture. Evaluate your relationships with my brothers and my sisters. Is it based on what they can do for me? Can they give me a loan when I get in trouble? Is that why I like my family? Or is it based on the unconditional love of God? And that's what Satan is saying. He don't really love you like you think he does. Because all Satan's relationships are based on deception. That's all. If people really knew who he was, that's what God is saying. If my servants don't serve me out of deception, they know who I am and they love me. Unlike you, Satan, you let me see. I wrote it down. This is what Satan is doing. Y'all know I write stuff down, right? This is what God is saying. Satan does all this stuff. It's a satanic smokescreen that Satan hides behind to do his dirty, dark work. That's how he operates. And he got people committing to him based on a dirty, dark smokescreen. Because if they saw him for who he really was, they wouldn't want to have anything to do with him. And he's trying to say, that's why we serve God. That's why Job serves God, because we can just give him stuff. God say, no, you got it twisted. That's what your people do. That's what your servants do out of deception, not mine. Then look at verse 10. Have you not put a hedge of protection round about him and about his house? God, you done cornered him off so nothing can bother him. So he's given us insight on what God does for us. Stay committed to God. But remember, Job is great, godly, and rich, and his world falls apart. And that's just the way it is. Because you never know what you're made of until you're made of nothing. Until you're stripped down to nothing. And then you know what's really going on. He said, you've blessed him and blessed the work of his hands. God has blessed the work of some of your hands. God's gave you the ability to do whatever you do with your hands. God's blessed you. It's not because you're that skilled and you're that crafty and you're that intelligent. If God didn't bless you, we couldn't get out of bed in the morning. So that's what Job is saying. You've blessed everything, and that's why he serves you. Verse 11, but put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said unto Satan, okay, deal. Okay, all that he has is in your hand. It says power, but that means hand in the Hebrew. Only upon his body. You can't touch your hand. Don't touch his body. Touch all his stuff, but don't touch his body. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And so Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Whew. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Those are the conversations that's going on now. So if we're going through, just know that it's a conversation going on. Remember, God never ends anything on the negative. And so if you're still going through, be encouraged. It's not over, because if it was over, it would be a positive. It's not over yet. You're going through it. God never ends anything on the negative. And I was getting a little ahead of myself, but as we finish this, we're going to go to the end of the story in chapter 42. And we're going to see, man, it's incredible what God did. But this right here is how it started. So here we go. Verse 13, underline, and there was a day. Underline, there was a day. There's a season. There's a day. Oh, my God. We don't like how that starts. But there's a day coming, family. Either you're in your day, you're going through your day, or your day is right around the corner. But there's coming a day, Brother Harold. It is. You could be great, godly, and rich, and you're still going to have your day. And there's no way around it. You could be doing everything right as Job was, and he still had his day. Day speaks of a time and a season, and we've all been there. I remember one of my business partners, Dina. Dina actually came and sang a song one Sunday here, God of God, she was visiting. And the same song she sang at my dad's service when my dad had passed away from cancer. And 9 months before that, my sister had passed away from cancer. There's a day, there's a season where it's really tough. And Dina, I was sharing with Dina, and she was saying, yeah, well, let me tell you about when my dad had passed. And Dina's from Chicago. So she said, we flew, my brother, my family, we flew to the airport. And to bury my dad, my brother was so overwhelmed, he had a heart attack, and he died right there. She said, so we went there and buried dad and my brother. Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a day. We all got those seasons. I mean, it's just a day. And we could be doing all the right things. We could be doing all the wrong things. And we're still going to have that day. So serve God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And just keep it pushing. Because we all have a day. So here we go. There was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. All right. I wrote it down for my, what did I say? For my, let me see. Yeah. Let me see. I wrote it down. What verse are we in? We in 12. What did I say? There was a day. Right, let me read this, because it says read this. All right. Because it all goes. There was a day. Family, have you ever had one of those days? All right. It speaks of a time and a season. Brothers eating and drinking at the older brother's house. And Paul's family, and thank God for your family. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the family members that are still here. Yes. That's what I'm saying. This is a season, but it's every day. Appreciate them. send that text. I'm just thinking about you. I'm just checking in. I love you. And that's it. Please be the peacemaker and with God's help, do all you can to make it right with your siblings. Go the extra mile. Send the text message. Humble yourself and let God use you to be a peacemaker. Invite them over to your house just to have a meal and share special memories. You don't have to wait for Christmas or Thanksgiving or New Year, because as we're going to see right here and right now, things are going to change. And then it says, and for my sipping saints, in verse 13, you can see that they were drinking wine. However, most of our family get-togethers go bad when alcohol is involved. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
They go bad when that alcohol is. It says, read this, Sister Kathy, so I got to read it. No, it's not a sin to enjoy wine with your meal. But I wouldn't recommend it at a family function or at any time for that matter. Somebody say amen. You know how it is. People want to look, the Bible says you can drink wine. That's the only scripture they want to bring up. They don't want to talk about nothing else about it, but that's how we got into Job. We want to justify the sin we're in, so we find a scripture. They were drinking wine, it's okay. And we know how that turns out. It goes all bad real quickly. Because at our family functions, we got yak and 40s and everything else. And we ain't drinking no wine. Verse 14. Okay, I want you all to focus. I'm going to give you the revelation, and then we're going to cut this off until next week, right? Look at the revelation in this. Verse 14, and there came a messenger. It's a messenger sometimes. Don't shoot the messenger. It's just the messenger came to Job. Don't be upset. We want to be upset with everybody. They're upset with the messenger. Why are you bringing me this news? Remember, it's spiritual warfare. Stop being upset with people. There came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them. Underline Sabaeans. Fell upon them and took them away, and yet have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I, and only I, am escaped to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven, and have burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I, and only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away. Yeah, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, your sons and your daughter were eating and drinking wine in the oldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote all four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they're all dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Wow. That's a tough day. But remember, it's all manufactured, created, and produced by a satanic influence. But look how the people responded. This is what got me. Look how the messengers responded. The first one said it was the Sabaeans. Sabaeans are people that come out of Ethiopia. All right? So I want to blame some people that don't look like me. That's how we do it. It's spiritual warfare. The second one said he's going to blame God. He said Elohim. It was the Trinity that sent fire from heaven. So here we are. We're blaming other people because of the color of their skin. We're blaming God because it came from heaven. All the bad stuff, we're trying to blame other people. We're trying to blame God. The third one were the Chaldeans, which come from the Persian Gulf. So we're going to blame our sand brothers. When stuff goes bad in our life, I'm blaming people that don't look like me. I'm blaming God. I'm blaming the other sand brothers. And the other one said it was the wind. I'm going to blame Mother Nature or natural disasters. Nothing motherly or disaster or natural about it. It's all satanically influenced, Brother Ivy. And I'm sitting around upset with people. And Satan is the puppet master watching and just kicking back. And I'm upset with people. I'm upset with God. And I'm saying Mother Nature and global warming. All satanically influenced and produced. And as an immature Christian or anybody, immature or an atheist, whatever you are, a fool, as the Bible is going to tell us right here, we're blaming everybody else and Satan is just, that's why I say I'm going to and fro. God, you see what I'm doing. And I'm going to have more with me in hell than you're going to have with you in heaven. He said, but have you considered Job? He said, Job don't really love you. Let's put him to the test. And the only way we know what we learned in school or outside of school or with God is by going through the test. And we're blaming everybody else. And it's spiritual warfare at the highest level, family. And I can't call my brother because of what he said to me and what he did to me and this, that. And I'm upset with my wife. I'm upset with my kids. And it's spiritual warfare. And I'm upset with the white man and the green and the orange man and everybody else. And my job, I'm getting laid off because of them. And it's the satanic influences. And we're immature running around looking stupid. Talking about we trust God. And here we go. Look at verse 20. Then Job arose and he tore his clothes and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground in worship. You got to be kidding me. It gets to a point, family, where you got to realize the only thing you're going to take to heaven is other people. And that way, when anything goes on, you can worship God because you've done your best, because this stuff doesn't mean anything. Don't get caught up in the stuff. Get caught up in being a witness and sharing your witness with others. Fight through that satanic smokescreen of deception that's preventing you from reaching out and from loving. Job fell down in worship. Look what he said in verse 21. And he said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. He said, look, I didn't come with nothing. I ain't going to leave with nothing. And the only thing I can take, that's why he spent time praying for his kids and his family, because he knew this. Naked shall I return there. The Lord gave and the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on, man. Job, boy, I see why God put you up there. Family, you make a note. We could be great, godly, and rich. We're going to go through. Look at the life of Joseph. Look at the life of David. Although, you know, David had his, but he was still great, godly, and rich. Solomon was even great, godly, and rich. And if we don't stay connected to God, it can all fall apart. And even when we stay connected to God, it can still fall apart. Then the ultimate example was Jesus Christ, great, godly, and rich. He had to suffer, but he resurrected on that third day. Say Jesus Christ wasn't rich. Actually, remember, you need to read John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God. The Word was God, was not anything made that is made without him. He created everything, so he don't get much more rich than creating everything. Still had to go through. Resurrect on that third day. Here we go. Let's finish with this. Verse 22, in all this, Job didn't sin, nor did he charge God foolishly. He didn't turn into a fool and start blaming God for everything that's going on in his life. Circumstances can get you to that point. I understand. I do get that. I'm not trying to say I'm beyond this. Nobody is. But I'm trying to say that. God gives, God takes away, and we can't. It's not God. It's spiritual warfare at the highest level. We have to be aware of what we're dealing with. Otherwise, I will go through life upset with all the people I'm supposed to show love and be a witness and be a light and be salt. And I never reach out to them because of the satanic smokescreen that's been presented before us. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Underline, and there was a day. Not again. You said, no, it couldn't be another. And that's where we'll pick up next week. Not another day, Lord. No, Lord, not another day. Yes, there's going to be another day. Let us close out in prayer, and then we'll dismiss. Lord, we really need your help this morning. God, you don't want us to operate business as usual. Lord, you don't want us to just go through life as ignorant, immature Christians, not knowing. Thank you for the revelation of your word, Lord. Lord, first we want to ask for forgiveness, Lord, when we blamed you for anything that was going on, Lord, when someone passed or when we didn't get the job or where this didn't happen or this fell apart, we lost this, the house got repossessed, the car got, God, we want to forgive you, because a lot of times it was our own reason that stuff fell apart, Lord. Satan said, I ain't got to do nothing, you're going to self-destruct. So, Lord, we confess and we repent for any time we might have charged you foolishly. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins, Lord. And God, we're just praying that we would understand the spiritual warfare that we are in, that we stay connected to you, Lord, that we realize the only thing we take to heaven with us is other people. Don't let us get too attached to this stuff, but let us stay connected to you. And every door you open for us, Lord, let us use it to share the goodness of Jesus Christ, who saved us and who rescued us, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you and we bless you for the revelation of your word. Let us reach out to family, Lord. Forgive us for not reaching out to family, and forgive us if we've been the family member that's been holding a grudge. Soften our heart so we could see, Lord, that we're to operate with unconditional love. Because we know a day is coming when things are going to change. We love you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for making it plain so we can live it. Maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I need to get saved today. I don't have the covering of God, that hedge of protection and God blessing the work of my hands, because I'm not connected with God. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, elevate your hand. I'd like to pray with you this morning. And if you're here and you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, that's between you and God. Just in your heart, ask God for forgiveness for you just being distant to God. The word says that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's between you and God. If you want to rededicate your life, go on and do it. God's watching your heart. It's not about a show. It's about you knowing that God is looking at your heart. Maybe you're here, you've been visiting and you want to join South Bay Abundant Life Church. From the worship to the word, you just know that this is a place where you can grow and find your purpose and your method of how God wants to use you. If that's you, elevate your hand. I would like to pray for you if you're looking for a church home. So, Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the challenge, Lord. Oh, it's so easy to live it between 9 and 10:30 here Sunday morning. But give us the strength to endure and live this Sunday through Sunday, Sunday evening through Sunday, through the next Sunday morning. Lord, give us the strength, the courage, the insight, the wisdom, the discernment to live your word. Oh, we love you, Lord. I want to ask Brother Xavier to come up. I want to pray for him before he goes off and be used of God. So glad you joined us this morning, brother. I'm going to ask the men, stand right here, Xavier, and face me. I'm going to ask the men to come up and just surround him as he goes off, and God has him on a path to be a light, to be a blessing to so many. We just want to stand in covering. Lord, we thank you for Xavier. We thank you for his Uncle Jerry. Thank you for their special bond, their special relationship, Lord. And we thank you that they're both connected to you. So, Lord, we pray for him as you continue to elevate him, Lord, in his academics, Lord, in his sports career, Lord, and all the doors that you've opened for him, Lord. We pray that he keeps an eye open and his heart open to hear and to listen and to see you in everything, Lord. And all the doors that open, Lord, let him be a light. Cover him and keep him, Lord, from the foolishness, from the predators, Lord, for those that don't mean him any good out there, Lord. Cover and keep him, Lord. And may you do great things in him, Lord. And then may he use that to share the greatness and the goodness of God with anyone who will listen. Thank you for the opportunity he has, Lord. Don't let him take it for granted. Keep his mind sharp. Keep his body sharp. Pray for his family, Lord, as they're praying for him as he heads off to Colorado. What a blessing, Lord. What an opportunity. So as men, we cover him. Keep him aware of the spiritual warfare that goes on, the distractions, the schemes of the enemy that would try and get him off track and off base and disconnected from God. We cover him as men. We cover him as fathers. We cover him as brothers. We cover him as men of God. Pray a blessing on his life. Lord, keep that hedge of protection around him. And God, may you bless the work of his hands. All that he does, may you cause it to progress. Thank you for Xavier. Thank you for Jerry. Thank you for these men. Thank you for South Bay Abundant Life Church, Lord. We love you for what you're doing in the lives of the men at this church. Pray a blessing on him now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yeah. Appreciate you, man.
Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen.